Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan is your station. We want to hear from you. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
TK and Tierney back on The Fan 102, so we got another hour to go, and then it's Courtney and Roberts here all day. Drive home, stick with the boys. On Twitter at TK and Tierney, we're going to get to these calls as well about the numbers, the tracking. Listen, I get a little geeked up with this. I do every year. I do. And I needed to bring somebody on that can give us the proper direction, and that somebody is good. His name is John Heyman. Very good. Odyssey MLB Insider. John, of course, is part of the crew and is presented by BetQL. Bet access and get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. So bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app, or visit BetQL.com today. John, first appearance on this station, this show. We've chatted many times over the year. How are you, buddy? Sure. What's happening?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Hi, Brandon. How you doing, Tiki?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm good.
Well, good. We've got a couple things we want to throw at you here. I follow the Hall of Fame tracker, and I know it's sometimes misleading. Right now, let me get everybody up. Let me actually hit refresh. I believe last I checked, there was 43.6% of the known ballots that are out there. Yes, 43.6%. There's about, I want to say, 370 voters-ish. Right now, Ortiz is at 84%. You've got Bonds at 77 change. Clemens right above the 75% threshold of 76. Poppy's getting in. Where are we this year on Bonds and Clemens?
Yeah, I mean, if precedent holds, I think that Ortiz will get in. I think you are right, BT. I really do. He's at 83, 84% right now. I don't think Bonds and Clemens are going to make it. The older voters aren't generally on Twitter. I'm older, but I am on Twitter. So my vote is in there. But a lot of the guys of my age and older are not in yet. And they're a little tougher on the steroids generally. I'm pretty tough on the steroids. You know, people will say my ballot isn't consistent. I've come around on Barry Bonds just because in 1996, he hadn't done steroids. By the end of the 96 season, he had 334 home runs, 380 stolen bases, and there wasn't one player in baseball at that point who had more in both categories than him. And I believe the narrative that he didn't do steroids until around 2001. I mean, he went from a 35 home run guy to a 73 home run guy in one case. So, you know, I think the evidence is in. And if, even without Balco and without the Mitchell report, I think we understand that Barry Bonds did steroids. And, you know, the thing that makes this ballot so hard is that the best seven players, by their accomplishments, all are linked to steroids. And that, you know, there are a lot of other really good players on this ballot, and I don't want to give them short shrift. They were competing against guys who did steroids. Of course, we don't know 100% if a guy did or didn't do steroids. You know, I think in the case of guys who did do them, we may know Bonds fairly did do steroids, Clemens did steroids, but, you know, we don't know on the other guys. But I'm going to assume if they're not caught, if there's been no article and no report, you know, and no other evidence that they didn't do steroids. So I try to favor those guys. I did vote for five guys. You know, I think I might have been a little tough. I think I probably could have voted for a couple more.
Who'd you vote for, John? Give us the ballot real quick.
I did vote for Bonds. That was my one steroid guy I've ever voted for. And the other candidates I voted for, are Scott Rolen, Curt Schilling, Andrew Jones, and Jeff Kent. You know, to me, on this ballot, you've got the eight guys connected to PEDs. A case, a very good case, could be made for all of them if you don't have anything against PEDs.
Yeah.
Those eight guys. And then you have about 15 other guys, I think, have a decent case to get in. And I voted for four of those 15 guys.
Hey, John, explain to me, and I guess us, how you rationalize your threshold on this guy did steroids, but maybe he didn't, and so I'm okay with it. Like, how do you rationalize that?
Yeah, to me, a guy has to be caught with steroids, and that means a failed test, a suspension, the Mitchell report, something like that. You know, if that is the case, and that is the case for eight of these guys, to me, they did do steroids. Now, I'm not opposed. If somebody wants to vote for them all because they all did great things on the ball field, if somebody says, I understand they did steroids, I'm still going to vote for them. I get it. I mean, these were some of the best players in some cases of all time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to leave them out. So if someone votes for Ortiz or Clemens, Sheffield, A-Rod, Ramirez, Sosa, Pettit, I'm okay with it. I didn't vote for Bonds initially. I am voting for him now based on the narrative. Some people will say it's inconsistent. I should be voting for Clemens. That's always a tough call for me. I do know that Clemens went to Toronto in the late 90s. So quite a few years earlier, he started doing the steroids than Bonds. So that's how I differentiate there.
Yep.
The tough one for me, and I tweeted about this, is that, I'm always defending the PBWAA. I think we do a good job under the circumstance. I don't think we did a good job covering steroids because we didn't uncover anything at the time. So we did a bad job with that. But
we all did.
In general, yeah. Well, it's more my responsibility than yours, BT.
That's true. I got you. That's true.
So,
that's fair.
I think we do a good job with the voting. To me, and I don't, if Ortiz gets in, that's fine with me. But to me, it's not a good job by us.
Yeah.
And I think we can be criticized if David Ortiz, who's linked to steroids, gets in on try number one, mm-hmm. and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens have gone through 10 times and are not in. You know, they are better players. I'm sorry to break this to people in Boston who don't believe it. Bonds and Clemens are all-time greats.
Yeah.
Ortiz is a great player. His stats, his achievements are Hall of Fame worthy, but he is linked to steroids.
Yeah.
Now, some will say some are more linked than others, but, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's linked on the first ballot. And look, it looks like Ortiz, I think you're right, BT. I think Ortiz is getting in, and I think we look bad that Ortiz gets a pass year one, and Barry Bonds and Clemens have gone through 10 years of this and aren't going to get in.
Yeah, John, I'm not trying to have you speak on behalf of your fellow Pro
That's
Baseball
okay.
Writers Association of America members, but you just said you guys did a collectively bad
yeah.
job of talking about uncovering the steroid issue. But if it had happened and the MLB wasn't, the Major League Baseball itself was not coming down hard on it, what would you have written at the time? You know what I mean? I remember vividly.
There are investigative reporters, and we're obviously poor ones. We were covering the balls and strikes. I was writing early running sub on all the games as the Angels beat writer, then the Yankees beat writer.
Yeah.
Then baseball columnist at Newsday. You heard some whispers. There was an occasional mention. I think Bob Nightingale in the LA Times once or twice broached the subject. I think he actually questioned Mike Piazza at one point. Piazza denied it, but he did write about it. The rest of us took the easy route and didn't do the investigation. And, I think we're left with this. And, in some sense, we deserve it.
Mm. I appreciate your candor with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty forthright. So we're talking
to
John.
Well, it's only fair. We did a poor job.
I hear you, man. That's John Heyman and Odyssey MLB Insider with us here on Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Here's my biggest issue with the whole Bonds and Clemens thing. First of all, I respectfully disagree. While I do agree that I think it's fair to deduce that whatever he was doing really spiked when he was up there in Toronto. Didn't Tiger Woods have a doctor up there, blood spitting stuff? What was that doc? Tony, what was that guy's name up there? What was the doctor up in Toronto that a lot of people were allegedly getting some stuff from? Either way,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously the trainer, Brian McNamee.
No, not Toronto, somebody else. No, not Brian. Somebody
yeah,
else.
I know.
You know what I'm saying.
But there with him. And, you know, obviously Brian McNamee has been honest about what happened there. And thanks to him, we had the Mitchell report.
No, no doubt. But, I mean, I remember watching Roger Clemens in the College World Series. I remember watching, I think that was Greg Swindell's team with Texas. I remember watching, you know, Roger Clemens in the 86 World Series. He won the MVP that year over Don Mattingly. I understand that, you know, he was pretty much done when he finished up in Boston. And he had this revival, and I think we all know why. But, I mean, Roger Clemens up until that point was one of the best pitchers I had ever seen. So I almost feel like you're being unfair to Clemens because I think he was better than you make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, he did have three Cy Youngs, I believe, in Boston. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He was his win total was in the upper 100s. Certainly you could make a case at that point that if he had retired before going to Toronto – maybe he is a Hall of Famer at that point. He had more than 10 years in. So you could make that case. So, you know, it's a fair argument. And, I'm very tough on steroids. I look at Barry Bonds as the case. Didn't do steroids until Sosa and McGuire did it and zoomed on past him. And then he wanted to catch up. So that's why I vote for him. I could see there isn't a big differentiation between Bonds and Clemens, but like I said, I'm very tough on steroids, and it takes a lot for me to vote for anybody with steroids. And to this point, and I guess it's the end for Bonds and Clemens.
Well, that's where I want to get to, John.
Weekend on Bonds.
It's not, though. And by the way, the name I was searching for, thank you, Dove, Dr. Galea. That's a name that we all remember. Thank you very much. There you go. So I know that you know this, but I want everybody to understand this. So we have the Golden Days era committee, which is what rightfully finally got Gil Hodges in, Tony Oliva, Mitty Minoso. There's also something that is brand new. It's called the Today's Committee, and they will be responsible from the era of 1988 to 2016. So while, you know, Clemens and Bonds and Sosa will expire after this year, and Schilling as well, there's a chance that they can get into the Hall of Fame next year with the Today's Era Committee. Do I have that right?
There is a chance. Like I said, the voters are, in terms of the favorability toward Bonds and Clemens, it skews young. So, you know, the people on those committees are even older than I am, believe it or not. And I think we'd be generally not predisposed to vote for steroid guys. And, that'd be just my guess. You know, what did Gil Hodges come up like 50 times before he got in? I mean, maybe eventually Bonds and Clemens will get in. Thankfully, Gil Hodges finally got in. I mean, for his baseball life, winning that miracle World Series, seven times 100 RBIs with them bums. Gil Hodges clearly deserved it. And you guys referenced, I was listening earlier, Harold Baines and some of the other guys who were not as obvious as Hall of Famers. I did not vote for Harold Baines. I think he was knocked off the ballot. And, I think Tiki had it right. I mean, you could make a case, but, you know, it's good we have these Veterans Committee. I'm glad we do because I think they put in some worthy candidates this year, including Hodges and Codd and Oliva.
Yeah.
Yep.
Minoso. But they are not perfect. And, you know, they're being that they're so small, sometimes they're, I would say affected by having friends on the committee. In that case, Tony La Russa and Jerry Reinsdorf, who I like very much, a Northwestern guy, they went for their friend and Harold Baines. I mean, Harold Baines was a great ball player, I think on the wrong side of the Hall of Fame line, but case could be made, and they made a case and they sold the other guys, and Harold Baines is in, and just like this year, and I'm not arguing against Codd and Oliva because they're two of the five guys that I advocated for, including Dick Allen. I thought Dick Allen should have gotten in. I'm not quite sure why he didn't, but being realistic about it, having Rod Carew and Bert Blyleven, two twins on the committee, didn't hurt Jim Codd and Tony Oliva.
And that's fair, and you can make the case Blyleven shouldn't be in, despite having maybe the best curveball of all time. So we're talking, and over 3,000 strikeouts. We're talking to John Heyman, talking some baseball here on The Fan with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, John, can you quantify what it means for these guys when they get in, especially the veterans guys? They've waited for a long time. Like, what does it do to them or for them?
Well, certainly for their psyche, it does quite a bit in terms of quantifying, in terms of the money. I wouldn't know that, but there certainly is, it is quantifiable because their signatures are worth more. And, you know, many of these guys who didn't make $20 million a year when they were playing And I certainly do not begrudge them. You're making $150,000 in some cases, and there are guys that are comparable making $20 million now a year. I don't begrudge them going to a card show and signing. And certainly if you put that HOF in there, your signature is worth more. I couldn't tell you how much more, but I know it is a big deal to all these guys. I know some of them are poo-poo it, and you know, maybe there's one or two guys it doesn't matter to, but the reaction when they get in is pretty special in most cases, and great to watch.
Well, so, John, why do you think I want Tiki to get in the Hall of Fame? Tiki will make more money. I think by extension, I'll make more money.
I mean, come on. Tiki should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
I hope by 4 o'clock this afternoon, my brother will be in the Hall of Fame. We'll find out.
Yeah, Rondé's going to know today.
How is Tiki not in the Hall of Fame? You know, I actually covered a few football games.
Did you really?
Tuesday
Did you
when
really?
I was a general columnist. Tiki is an amazing football player.
Thank you.
I'm well
to
aware,
fair,
John.
I'm not
beat the drum. Beat the drum, John.
He was incredible.
He was unstoppable.
I appreciate
when
it.
He
great
was
moves.
In his prime.
I mean, Barry Sanders might be number one on the moves, but Tiki's definitely in the top five.
I was subtle.
Marshall Faulk.
Outmaneuver guys.
Falk, Tiki. No, I got you. All right, so final thing, John. I mentioned the Today's Committee era that encompasses, you know, the late 80s through the mid-2010s, right? Does that open the door? Let's end it with a real local hit. Does that open the door at all for Mattingly and or Hernandez?
Yeah, I mean, Mattingly has been on these, has been up for the Hall of Fame and as Hernandez for the on these committees. They were not up the last time, but they have been up, and they haven't quite made it. In San Diego was 2019. Winter meetings, Mattingly was on the ballot, and he didn't get much traction. I was a guy who did vote for Don Mattingly. Every year he was on the ballot, so I think it was 15 years, and he made it through without getting knocked off. I don't like that rule of knocking guys, because we've knocked off a lot of really good players. I mean, Carlos Delgado and Bobby Gritsch.
Even Bernie. Bernie, right? Bernie Posada.
Posada.
Yeah.
I didn't vote for Bernie. I did vote for Posada. You know, these are all close calls. I think we are underrepresented in terms of catchers.
Huh.
And, you know, I support. I did vote for Mattingly. I support Keith Hernandez now. I think we were a little too tough. I think generally we've done a good job. But as I said, if we're only putting David Ortiz in and no Barry Bonds and none of these other guys,
yep,
who didn't do steroids, I don't think it looks great.
Yeah.
And, I understand the link isn't as great for Ortiz. He did reportedly fail that 2003 survey test. To me, that's enough of a link that, you know, I'm going to weigh that.
I agree.
Say, at this point, I'm not voting for David Ortiz. And we got 84% of people are voting for David Ortiz. I put it out there on Twitter. What is going on? Why is this happening?
Because he's likable.
Yeah, he's affable. Big Poppy.
That was number one.
Big Poppy.
You hit it. Tiki hit it. Yeah, he is a likable guy. You know, you see him cackling on the on TV there with A-Rod, and people love David Ortiz. And
he
obviously did a great job with Boston Strong. I mean, he's good personality,
awesome.
Not taken away. I do not vote on personality. You know, I've voted for a lot of guys I really do not like, you know, I mean, Jeff Kent, Curt Schilling. I mean, you know, they're not Mr. Warmth. I don't think it should have anything to do with it. And I don't think it does. You know, for years I was on with the show with Evan Roberts and
Joe. Yeah, I used to hear you all the time. Yeah, they used to ask you for football picks for some reason.
Right, they did. Right, and I think I went 2 for 2 and 14 one year.
Well, it's because you covered a couple of Tiki's games. They thought you knew football.
I was faking it. I was faking it too.
That's all right. Hey, John, 10 seconds. Your best guess? Not March, certainly for the lockout. April, May. When are we back to baseball?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we play a full season. I would not. I mean, at this point, I would say it's likely, and I don't have this on good authority. I can just see the way the wind is blowing here that we're delayed in spring training at the very least. They shorten spring training. We may be delayed for the season, but I'm still hopeful that we get a full season in. There has been basically almost no progress to this point, but
yeah.
Just with so much to lose, I'm just optimistic that they figure something out.
Get it together, guys. Get it together. John, really good spot. I know we'll be chatting a lot during the season. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Anytime, guys. Always a pleasure. And Tiki, you should be in.
I appreciate you, John. Thank you. Keep yelling it. Loudly.
Somebody's got to yell it, right? John Heyman.
Thank you, John.
The Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right. That was good. A lot to extrapolate from that conversation with John. Which way are you leaning here? 877-337-6666. We're hammering the calls next here on The Fan. You know what bothers me? And by the way, I love John's transparency. He's like, yo, we didn't do a good job.
They didn't.
I appreciate that. But not everybody's going to get on the air and say that.
That's right.
I've always liked John. We've known John for a long time. He's piped in. He's good. You'll hear him a lot here on The Fan with us. But what bothers me fundamentally, and then we're going to get to these calls here, about the whole Baseball Hall of Fame setup, is that, in essence, Teak, 370-ish people control the entire history of the game.
That's right.
And that is just not right.
Yeah, I mean, locally, for big markets, or markets that really care about their teams, the history is going to survive, right? It's gonna, you're going to keep talking about the greats of the past. Say, you know, your guy, Donnie Baseball, right? You're gonna, they're never going to leave the local lexicon. But from a national standpoint, even international, if you want to go that far to people who like baseball outside of this country.
Oh, you have to.
You have to. You're absolutely, absolutely right. Right? You're going to make a trip to do a baseball, I don't know, vacation if you love that.
Well, you're going to come like to, if I kind of like hit different stadiums
because
a lot of people do that during the
look,
summer.
My buddy, who's now he's in congressman. He did that with his dad when he got sick. He went to every stadium.
That's
all,
cool.
All the big ones. All wow. the like Wrigley and Fenway, Yankee Stadium, like
Dodger Stadium.
Yep, he did that all around the country.
Camden, I'm sure.
And if you're on a tour like that, you're going to stop at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
right?
I love Cooperstown. So, Cooperstown's amazing. I got to get back up there.
I've never been.
Didn't AJ play there?
AJ played
there.
Oh, that's
when we were watching
on
the stream. That's right.
We were here.
Yeah.
You remember, you called the inning.
I did. That's right.
You called his at bat.
I did. He had a base hit the right field, went the other way.
Which was probably illegal, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, that's right.
We stole the broadcast rights.
Nobody was listening. We were on the national show. Nobody cared.
In the morning as well.
That's true. The other thing that bothered me, too, was like, I can't prove this, but I think that, like, Bonds has been combative with the media.
Mm-hmm.
Clemens has been almost indignant, like, no, I didn't cheat.
Yeah.
I think if these guys were more contrite along the way,
it
would have changed the mindset of some of these voters.
If they were as forthright as, say, Andy Pettit, who's not going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hear you.
But at least he kind of, like, all right, I did this. This is why.
Yeah. And I know Yankee fans hate when I say this, but this is what's in my heart, and I love Andy Pettit. I think he's one of the best people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fully buying that explanation.
Sorry. I'm just bringing
that
up.
His workout partner was Roger Clemens.
Agreed. I'm looking at him right now. He's at 11.1%.
No, he's never. He's great Yankee, but he's
great. I'm just saying.
I know. All right. What do you think? Let's start in Riverdale. Pardon me. Let's start in Brooklyn. Ken is on the Fan here on Tiki and Tierney. What's going on, Kenny?
Hi guys, Tiki, you said to yell your name.
Yeah.
Tiki!
I love it. I appreciate you, brother.
And I'm a Patriot fan, but you deserve to get in. Also, guys, I've been listening to you. I feel like you guys are really getting your rhythm, and congratulations. You're really a joy to listen to.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that, buddy. What's up?
So, as I'm listening, I don't really have that much, like, profoundly philosophical to say, except that just my gut just says to me, Bonds is in. All the rest are out. I don't know how you really sort of clarify. It's pretty gray, right? Like, there's probably guys that were juicing that we don't know they were juicing.
Yep.
There's guys that were juicing, and we don't know how good they would have been without it. Brady Anderson obviously isn't going to get in the Hall of Fame. To me, Bonds is just like 73 home runs and 400 at bats. A big mistake to juice. It obviously puts a big asterisk on him, but he's the best baseball player I've seen. Juice or not. And I have another thought, just listening to you guys talk about Ernie Williams. Am I still on?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So it's interesting to think, first of all, it was a juicing era, right? Pitchers are juicing. It's kind of almost like I need to level the playing field. I'm playing against guys who are, on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume Bernie was not, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you'd never tested positive, we're going to assume not. So you might want to think about, because they always think about not voting for someone who was on steroids. They don't think about voting for someone who was not on them, who was just clean. Like, if Bernie is playing against guys who were juicing.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've made this point a lot there, Ken.
I don't think it goes the other way. I mean, but that's the argument that Lance Armstrong made, right? when he with, yes. with his you know steroid or performance enhancing. I don't know exactly what. I think he was actually blood doping with Lance
the Tour de France.
Yeah, with the you know taking your blood, spinning it, and yeah. highly oxygenated, whatever it is. But the reason he said he did it is because everybody else was doing it. So doesn't make it right.
Yeah,
but
I mean, listen,
it does allow you to compete on a higher level with some of these guys that are clearly cheating.
Hey, I'm not trying to be a phony. I mean, I told Tiki years ago, and I just wasn't good enough. But if I was better, I would have taken steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like I to the point where I actually had a guy on
baseball,
campus
by the
in
way.
College.
BT played baseball in high school and college.
In college, I was going. My sophomore year during intersession. I was precariously close to doing a cycle or two.
Yeah.
And I just made the determination. You know, I like to think at the end of the day, I was raised the right way, but I had awareness and I was smart enough to know that, you know, I wasn't good. I wasn't going to make money because I wasn't good enough. But if I was like in A ball and my life depended on it, and I, you know, financially, and I'm making $393 a week and I'm, you know, I have nothing in the bank and I'm married with a kid. Give me the needle. I understand why people did it. I really do. So let's not be phonies about this. Many of us would have done it. Let's go to Robbinsville, New Jersey. John is on the fan. John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
John,
how you doing?
Good afternoon. Hey, listen, for me, it's kind of a no-brainer, okay? The Hall of Fame is not an ethics Hall of Fame. It's not a Disney World Hall of Fame. You know, if we're gonna go back and beat up Bonds and Clemens, and I hate cheating, they obviously did something. But then we need to go back and be consistent, right? We need to go back and let's investigate everybody that was unethical or did drugs or cheated. I mean, you could make the case Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Back in those days, he traveled on trains with the reporters. They were buds. They drank and smoked together. He was great to kids. He was a great baseball player. You know what? From what I read, and, you know, he wasn't the nicest to women. If he played in 2020, would he get in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I have a question for you, John. I have a question. Are you talking about infidelities or abusing women physically?
Well,
big difference.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I
liked women.
The book,
okay.
So, no, the book I read on him said, you know, the one scene, this is funny, he was running through a train. This was reported in the book, I forget which one.
Uh-huh.
And he was running through a train, like, naked with a woman. He had a bottle of booze, and a woman was coming after him with a knife. I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of stories, and be that as it may. But there's other players back then that cheated. You know, people were scuffing the balls. They're all looking for that.
Yeah,
so we're going to go back now. In my opinion, is the career on a trajectory they would have been a Hall of Famer before? Now, Bonds, I looked at once his stats, and there was a clear line
yeah.
at 37, 22 home runs, then all of a sudden 70. That's pretty clear. But I think from what I'm hearing from you guys and others, he probably would have been a Hall of Famer.
He would have been.
Yeah.
Been.
Yeah. But and that was John Heyman's argument. I mean, that's exactly what he said. He said, look, he was going there anyways. I mean, if he had stopped before he started taking steroids, he probably would have been borderline Hall of Fame.
But I disagree with John, but not voting for Clemens.
I agree.
Now listen.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Like, how do you reconcile it? Like, what's your cutoff line?
It's very much a shade of gray, and that's why the power bestowed upon these writers, it's just too much. They're judge and jury. So when I say, you know, they are determining the absolute course of baseball history.
Yeah, but how else?
That's
could
not
you,
right.
But how else could you do it?
I don't know.
Like, who else would be qualified? Should it be a smaller committee and then have debate like the NFL does?
No, I think I think there's strength in numbers, where it's not just group thought, where everybody latches onto the same rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, think about there's a reason why certain players always get left at the altar. Gil Hodges is a great example. If it wasn't up for the Golden Era Committee, finally got this player in. I mean, he deserves so much better, and not just because he played here and, you know, there's a relationship and there's a fandom and our dads grew up with the Dodgers. No, not just because of that. He was a great first baseman. He was clutch. He hit bombs. I mean, Gil Hodges should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he wasn't. And I would have to think, Teague, after a while, you know, all the guys on the committee are espousing the same things.
Yeah.
And he just kind of fall into the same trap of just the same rhetoric year after year.
Yeah, and
I didn't do this. I didn't do that.
Well,
what did he do?
He mentioned an interesting a part of this, the narrative. It's not like an ethics situation. It's not like, we like this guy. He was really good to us as a media. It's like, what did you actually do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in the NFL, it's different. And they're voting on this or discussing this right now for the NFL Hall of Fame. It's you have a presenter. Right, it's a group. I don't know how large the group is actually. It's probably, I don't know, there's at least one from each team, and there's a couple of at-large. So I want to say 40 or 50 Hall of Fame voters in the NFL. And someone has to present you, right? And that person has to make the argument for why you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And then you get, you know, you get whittled down to the five, and I think it's actually 10, and then it gets whittled down to five, and those five ultimately get voted in if everybody agrees that those are the ones to go in. But someone has to present you.
Who's presenting Rondae? I'm not sure.
Ira Kaufman.
I didn't know that.
He presented John Lynch, and he presented Warren Sapp, and supposedly...
That's good record. Rondae should be in a couple hours.
Supposedly, when he presented Warren Sapp, he said, I just want to say the first thing he said was, Warren Sapp is a bleep. like a bleep hole.
Yep.
Get that out of the way.
But
on Sundays, he was...
He could have been our bleep. It wouldn't take Kyle Brady out of Penn State
instead. And that's why he was first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, no question. You got to check bias at the door. But some of these people don't.
You're right.
And that forever bothers me.
You're right.
877-337-6666. Teke and Tierney on the Fan up until 2. Then it's Carton and Roberts. More calls. More reaction. Twitter as well, at Teke and Tierney.
Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Calls before we wrap it up here on The Fan with Teke and Tierney. Carton and Roberts on deck at 2. 877-337-6666. First up, though, it's time for the Teke and Tierney Daily Pick brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. And by Wind Creek Bethlehem. It's go time. All right, Teke, tee up a winner here. Make everybody
scratch.
I got
one for you. Steph Curry did not play his last game. He's set to return tonight as the Golden State Warriors are laying 15 against the Detroit Pistons at home. Mm. Steph is set to return. He's had a couple of games of kind of not duddish.
He has not played well for the last 3 weeks.
He hasn't been that MVP candidate that we saw earlier in the season. Huh? But they are starting a 7-game homestand against the lowly Detroit Pistons. I'm going to say they run them out of the building. So Golden State Warriors laying 15.
Laying the 15. Draymond Green's out, though. He's a little bit banged up.
Yeah, he's a defense
guy. If you want to cover 15 points,
Andrew Wiggins
defense.
Has been great. Poole's been fantastic. Klay Thompson's back.
I'm not even saying I disagreed. I'm just throwing a little context into it in case you want to go the other way. Take the 15. 877-337-6666. Tony's in Staten Island, and Tony is on the Fan. Tony, how you doing today?
How you doing today, gents? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We got you.
What's up?
All right. So just two things on the Hall of Fame, one with baseball, one with football, if I may. In regards to the Hall of Fame and these steroid guys, you know, listen, if we go back into 2003 and prior to 2003, you know, there was no formal testing for steroids. Steroids was an illegal substance needed with a prescription. If you didn't have a prescription, it was illegal.
Yep.
So at that time, right, Brandon, please, correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
So now, I mean, if they're not testing them for the illegal substance, why are they being restricted into being in the Hall of Fame? And we hear all the arguments. So I just want to chime in.
Well, I think, Tony, I would answer that briefly. Yeah, it seems unfair to retroactively punish somebody.
Yeah.
But once the rules were in place, you know, some of these players played past that line of delineation.
Well, that's the Alex Rodriguez conversation.
You know what I mean?
Because he got caught long after. Right?
I mean, A-Rod got caught. He didn't even try to hide it after a while. Come on, Alex.
I'm just going
to
fight you guys.
You know?
Actually, I'm going to
sue you, Yankees.
And if I may, I can't help myself. And I've been fighting for you for a long time, Teke. Hey, guys, I suggest and encourage everyone to look at the all-time career totals for yard from scrimmage. Mm. And if you look at this list, and you know the list I'm talking about.
Teke, I do.
You see the names above you, and you see the names below you. Brandon, please punch out this list. Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, Peyton, Gore, Falk, Tomlinson, Sanders, Allen, Fitzgerald, Curtis, Martin, Adrian Peterson, Thurman Thomas, Tony Dorsett, Terrell Owens, and Teke Barber, number 15 all-time from yards from scrimmage.
That's a hell of a valid, that's good.
Yeah.
Beyond
good. You want me to tell you?
I just want to get a few more. That's my fault, Tony.
Yeah, no, I mean, what he's saying, the difference is running backs have been judged by how many rushing yards they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in people's minds, it's, if he didn't get the 12,000 rushing yards, he's not a Hall of Famer. That's
you're gonna get in someday.
That's the fight I have to fight.
You're
not
get
I
in
have
someday.
To fight. Somebody has to fight.
You're gonna
me.
Get in someday.
Yeah, and Ronda's gonna fight for me.
And
once
I'm gonna
he gets
yeah, right. I'm gonna present you with a T-shirt with a hashtag. I'm gonna make some money off the whole bit. But you're going to get it at some point.
What's it going to be, a thumbs down shirt?
Definitely not to you. Definitely not to
Knicks
fans. No,
not to me. Everybody else.
All right. Tinton Falls, Chris is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What's going on, Chris?
Fellas, what's cooking?
Called
you guys a couple weeks ago. You dudes are doing a great job.
Thank you, brother.
As far as you in the Hall of Fame, bro, you're one of my all-time favorites. I told my friend Tom McCarthy, you're absolutely one of my favorites.
Tom's my dude, man.
10,000, 5,000. You should be there.
Yeah, there's only two others.
Tierney?
Yes.
Sorry?
I said there's only two others.
That's right, and I know that well. Tierney, you were talking about Grease a week ago. I love both Grease and Grease 2. Stephanie Zanoni, wah, wah, wah.
I'm a cool rider.
You're underselling Marty Maraschino from the first one a little bit.
It's funny that you say that, Chris. You know, listen, Rizzo, not my style. I know what you mean, and I hand to Bible. When I said that nobody else was really worthy of mention from the Pink Ladies in the original Grease, she popped into my head. I'm like, let me just move on. But I don't disagree, Chris. That is a good call. I agree with you.
I tried to get in, and I got bumped for Nick's talk. Real quick on steroids, and I'll be done with you guys.
All good.
You know what bothers me, and you guys brought this up about pre-testing and post.
Yeah.
You know, the union, man, they reap what they sow. Those guys, high tide raises all boats. I know it's hard to speak out. But nobody did. So you got it. You guys have, not you, but the players own it. And then as far as the writers, where the hell were you guys with amphetamines? Just as illegal. We don't acknowledge that.
That's a great point.
Way bad job.
Yeah. Nobody bad talks job. About the amphetamine
maybe,
side.
Maybe
yeah.
Cal Ripken's record could be called into question. You can't do it after the fact. If the rules weren't in place, vote the guys in on their merit. The guys who hit home runs, they hit them off of guys throwing uber hard because they were juiced.
Yep.
Similarly, hey, if you didn't do it, more power to you for being clean. But how do I know just because I hear rumors? That's BS. Not allowed.
I agree with you, Chris.
Yeah.
Good call, buddy. Appreciate it, Chris. Good job. Let's get Gil, who's in Staten Island, and Gil on Staten Island. Gil is on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Gil.
Hello.
Hey, yes, what's Gil. Up, Gil?
Hey, what's going on? My point is about Mattingly. Do you think if Mattingly would have hung on and 1-96, or if they would have 1-95, would have given him a better shot.
Okay. First of all, this really.
And I got a point about Tiki.
Yeah. This is BT's wheelhouse.
Personal
man.
With Mattingly.
I know. It's like you talking about a family member with Don Mattingly.
That's right, boy. He is.
Me too. I'm staring at his picture on the wall.
But here's the issue with, and it's a unique look into his career because you're trying to deduce what we don't. So I this is a hypothetical, and this pains me to say. I don't think the Yankees would have won in 96 with Mattingly at first base instead of Tino hitting bombs. Now, I know that Mattingly hit .417 against Seattle, the double the other way, the home run. I mean, the first game, which I was at, bullet down the right field line. He played well, but he didn't have 160 games in him anymore. He was just about done. And Tino, even though Cecil played in Atlanta, Tino was a bomber, so I don't think they would have won with Donnie. If they did, that changes. That's also another 150 hits, which gets you up to about 2,400. The long-winded way, maybe, Gil.
And my one thing with Tiki, if you look at Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, and Tiki's numbers combined, you didn't know whose names they were.
Yeah.
You would have a hard time picking out who they were. And the Giants didn't use you for the first 3 years of your career.
No, I just sucked at the first 3 years of my career. That's all.
They wanted to use him, Gil.
I couldn't stay healthy, Gil.
They said, hey, do we draft the right kid? Can we use this guy from Virginia? Why'd we take this guy?
Yeah, let's get Joe Montgomery. How about this kid, Sean Bennett?
They kept trying to replace you.
Gary Brown.
How nervous were you when they were? Let me ask you a question. I've never asked you this. On draft day, now I know you weren't following it like because you didn't have a phone like we do now. But were you paying attention to who the Giants were drafting early?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I might get cut. Or,
yeah,
how does that go for a pro athlete?
It's odd for me because my first year I started. So I was a rare rookie starter my rookie season for the Giants back then. Rookies didn't start. But Hamp was done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he physically was just worn out.
Like Rodney.
Rodney Hampton, who's awesome. And so I started that first game. I was like, dude, I can do this. Had a great game against Philly, caught a couple passes. We ended up winning that game. But then against the Saints in like week 5, I got hurt. And I just never was the same. I wasn't the same because I was little. I wasn't strong. Like, I got powerful at the end of my career, but then I was little. So I had to find a new niche, which was as a punt returner and a third down back. That's why I had so many catches early in my career. And so, yeah, they would draft the running back, but it was kind of like they were drafting the every down back. Mm-hmm. They weren't drafting to replace what I was doing until... And so I was able to exist.
Okay.
You know
gotcha.
What I mean? Even,
I gotcha.
Even though I wasn't the guy, I was able to exist because I had a role as a punt returner and a third down back.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2000, we all know what happened. We drafted Ron Dayne, but Sean Payton changed our offense, and my career took off.
Makes sense. Al's in Keyport, and Al is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Al?
What's happening? Thanks for taking the call. You know, for the Hall of Fame, you were saying it condensed the people that vote on it. I got a brainstorm here.
Go ahead.
And that's what it might be. But anyway, what they ought to do is, the list, the people that are suspected, they ought to let the people who are already in the Hall of Fame vote on them and see if they want to let them guys in. They're the guys who are going to be affected. They ought to give them the vote on those couple of people that are up there. And that's what I have to say. Also,
yeah,
Mattingly should be in there.
Yeah.
Mattingly was one. Well, he was the best first baseman they had for years and years and years. He just had a short career. And Sandy Koufax, they always let him. They always give him a pass.
Yeah.
He wasn't all great. He had a couple really good years. But it's the same with Mattingly. He had a couple really, really good years. He should be in. But they should let the guys in that are in there vote on those people.
Well,
then it would be cut and dry.
Yeah, Al,
nobody can say nothing.
It's interesting, though, Al, because a lot of those guys who you're alluding to don't want anything to do with
this. They harbor resentment.
They harbor
resentment. But a lot of them
have
died.
They ought to harbor resentment.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were cheating, man, and
yeah,
the other guys weren't.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like somebody, somebody like Harmon Killebrew.
Mm-hmm.
The guy played his heart out, and they're going to let some guy in there. If they think they were on steroids, they shouldn't get in. That's why I'm saying let them guys vote.
Yeah.
There's young guys there that are suspected that are in.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll vote for them.
I like the thought Al. Right, we got to let you go, buddy, only because we're kind of getting a little bit late, and then we got Carter Roberts coming up next here. Listen, I know, and I don't have time for it now, but I told Tiki a long time ago the story when I met Bob Feller.
Mm-hmm.
When he gave me a portion of the Dowd report.
That's right.
All right? And I'm not ashamed to say, he handed it to me and he said, son, educate yourself. You sound like an idiot. This is my first radio job in Pennsylvania. I had him on the morning show. And then he was at the minor league ballpark that night throwing out the first pitch. And we talked about Pete Rose on the show. We also talked about Pete Rose in the stadium when he was signing autographs. And I was pro Pete Rose getting in. And then he gave me the Dowd report, at least the excerpt.
Yeah.
I read it. I actually did some more homework, and then I changed my mind. I have since gone back to put him in. I guess I just say put everybody in at this point that did something wrong. But the point is that somebody like Bob Feller, who missed, and Ted Williams, a lot of players missed time due to missed Major League time due to the service. Bob Feller was keeping his arm loose, throwing the ball on a ship.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm Bob Feller, I know he's no longer with us, but if I'm Bob Feller, I would have no tolerance for guys doing drugs, for whether it's recreational drugs or a different generation. Clearly, they had no tolerance for that. Or PEDs. I'd be like, no, keep them all out.
Yeah.
But as those guys died off, to Al's point, and you had more of an understanding of the times and a more accurate representation of the time frame, maybe these guys would get in if their peers voted.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thought.
It is.
Give them a percentage of it.
I just don't know if that's ever going to happen.
No, I don't think it will either, but it's an interesting thought.
It's a unique space that the Pro Baseball Writers Association of America, that they hold. And you're right. It's a lot of power over the legacies of these guys, because they're great in their local markets, of course, but internationally, nationally, unless they're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like Keith Hernandez is a great example.
That's exactly right.
Gets his number retired finally. Keith isn't in the Hall of Fame despite winning the MVP in 79, sharing it.
Yep.
And, of course, 86, the World Championship, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
10 or 11 gold gloves, whatever the number is, and all the other things he did. Met fans will always revere him. Cardinal fans who watched him love watching him play, but he blends in.
He gets lost in the national conversation.
Yes, he does.
I mean, and be honest, if it wasn't for the Seinfeld appearances, a lot of national people wouldn't know his name.
That's true. The
you
only reason we ever brought up Mattingly on the old show is because I shoved it down your throat.
That's right.
If I was a Mets fan, I would have shoved Hernandez down
but
your
Don,
throat.
I don't know. Don Mattingly just has a different – it's a different ring.
Because he was better than Hernandez.
Yeah, maybe.
No, there's no maybes.
It's just a ring. Just a different ring to – maybe it's just how it sounds. I don't know.
But the way the cadence to his name?
Yeah, exactly.
Don Keith Hernandez is one extra syllable.
No. Just like Mattingly. Because
you hear Bob Shepard's fabled voice. Now batting for the Yankees.
Now batting.
Number 23.
Bob on the carrier.
Oh, that's right. He did it for you guys, too.
That's right.
That's right.
On a handshake deal with Wellington Mara. They never had a contract.
He was probably getting like $100 a game, too.
Yeah.
He was a professor at St. John's. Bob Shepard, one of the great, great careers and great stories in all the sports, not just here. All right. We're wrapped up. Let me see. Hoff, give us a grade for the day. You heard it all.
Are we going letter grade or are we going number grade?
We'll go letter grade.
I'm going to write it down.
Was that? I'm sorry.
I'm going to write it down.
Let's go. I'll go 9.5.
I said letter grade.
I couldn't hear my I put my headphones on and then I didn't have the volume.
All right, so. we just lost a percentage.
This guy's
point.
Already halfway out the door. Show's not even over yet. I mean, yesterday Dole wasn't playing the music. Today Hoff has 1 foot out the studio door. Speaking of music, what time's that music going to start popping on here, Dove? Now?
5.
There we go.
4.
Still learning the 3. Mechanics here at the Fan. I'm still, there we go. Still figuring things out, Barber. Barber on the carry.
No,
nine
no,
yards.
No, no, no. Barber on the carry.
Left side. Barber puts one on the turf.
A little too high pitch there on the Barber side.
Just kidding. Hey, listen, when everybody calls up and says he's got to be in the Hall of Fame as his partner of a decade, I got to check the ego and let him know he used to cough a few up once in a while.
Dude, a few? 53 to be exact.
Oh, man, I got you. 53 more than me.
Actually, might have been 50, might have been 59.
Was it really?
I can't remember. It was a lot.
I would have cut your ass. Would have kept drafting running backs. Carton Roberts coming up next. Everybody have an outstanding Tuesday. Teak, I'll see you tomorrow, brother.
Be good, homie.
You too. Twitter, Teaky and Tierney. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Carton Roberts all day into the night right here on The Fan. We'll see you.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.